It's the end of one thing and the start of another, and I have a request of my fairy godmother. Please take a wand, the powerfully fast one, to concoct a new year so we forget the last one. Welcome, everybody, to the final Spectrum West of 2020. A year people and history books will talk about for many years and many reasons. I'm Al Ross, and given the exclusivity, we hope, of this past year, we've assembled a crew of people to represent some of what we're thinking and to put into words and music some of what can make us feel better. We have poets. Bruce Taylor and Max Garland are here. We have musicians stuck in the year they'll remember as mostly gigless, a new word, feel free to use it, but they find ways to make music anyway. We'll talk with Pat Donahue, Sue Orfield, and Jerry Way. Plus, hear a Randy Sabine tune tailored for this day. We have people who write about who we are and where we go, like Nick Meyer from the Volume 1 family. And we have people who lead creative associations, reminding us we're all in it and in it all together. And how circling the wagons is still a smart tactic, many years removed from the Lone Ranger. Another thing they remind us we're not. Ann Katz leads Arts Wisconsin, always providing support to everyone who writes, rhymes, records, renders, and regales. Her job took on new dimensions. Her Zoom wardrobe consisted of 5 rotating sweatshirts, and everything around us required modification.
Well, I remember at the beginning we said, how will we get through this? And here we are. And first of all, what choice would we have for getting through it? What are we going to do, give up? Yep. No. And now there's a little bit of light at the end of this very long tunnel.
For this New Year's Eve Day episode of Spectrum West,
I love that.
I'm talking to the people who have had to stay home normally out in front of us, having a wonderful time. In all that you've been doing in the last 8 or 9 months, people in the arts, you have to be proud.
I'm in awe, really, of the creativity that I have seen. Definitely from artists and musicians and the people who make these things happen. You know, the arts have been a balm, something soothing in the midst of all this chaos. And you can't stop the creative spirit. So no matter what, the arts will continue. Then you put on the other part of that, right as the pandemic shut down everything, we got word from the U.S. Department of Commerce that the arts sector in Wisconsin was a $10.1 billion economic driver, and it encompassed more jobs than the beer, biotech, and papermaking industries. Now, of course, there's like a $60 million negative economic impact. And the arts businesses and the people who work in the arts were the first to shut down and will be the last to come back to anything resembling normal. It's just going to be that very weird thing that we just don't know how to do quite yet. Mm-hmm. It will come back, but it will take a while. So how is the arts sector doing? People are hurting like crazy, and they're slogging forward one day at a time. I really am, as I said, in awe of what people have been trying to do, putting their work online, rehearsing bands in special masks, really working with the health universe to figure out what is possible.
On the venue side, it's good that those people have fingernails, because that's what they've been hanging on by.
And chewing them at the same time, absolutely. Again, I talked to someone who ran a summer theater program in March, and she said, well, this is worrisome, but I'm sure it'll be fine by the summer. It was not. And now, what can we do by summer of 2021? Can we do something? I think we can do something, but I'm not really sure what we can do. You know, people are trying to make something reduced but still exciting. So much virtual work out there. And people are trying to figure out how to monetize that. So you can't charge $50 for a ticket for a virtual performance like you can for a real live performance. I think hanging on by the fingernails is a good way to put it, with great resolve and knowledge that we will get through this.
We'll come out of this and we'll have newfound and large, wholesome appreciation for each other. One thing I wanted to ask you in closing, because I don't have much time to talk to everybody, but I knew Ann Katz had to be on the show.
I'm honored.
As am I. Every time an old year goes and a new year comes in, we used to sit down and read the newspaper, and we had such a wonderful time. Everybody would make predictions. So,
oh my gosh,
what do you have any predictions, Ann Katz?
Okay, I don't have a crystal ball to see when we're going to be able to put on performances inside in any kind of financially responsible and artistically meaningful way. But people will try. People will keep trying to and seeing how that works. But I do think there will be a whole heck of a lot of outdoor stuff. Yeah. I felt like in the spring this year, there were a number of people that I talked to. They had never done outdoor things. They didn't quite know what to do. They said, well, I don't think our audiences will come to it. So they didn't do very much. But now we are all desperate for human interaction. There is nothing that replaces that. Mm. And people see that if they want to do anything, they're going to have to do stuff outside at the moment. I think there will be a lot of that. I have already seen organizations using drive-in theaters to do performances, yeah, and barns to do performances, and any venue or any location can be used to do something outside. The minute you can go outside and not get snowed on, I think people will think, we got to do something, and here's what we can do. So we're going to do it now.
We'll watch those developments, and if none of that happens, we'll be back at you for another prediction.
Wonderful.
Happy New Year to you, and thanks for being a good friend of WPR and Spectrum West. I look forward to the time when we do the show in which we celebrate and sing.
Happy days are here again.
That's the one.
It's a date.
Good deal.
Now.
Thanks so much.
Take care. Happy holidays.
The multimedium known as Volume One is, along with things like Spectrum West, a monitor on which the pulse of Western Wisconsin arts is measured. So we've spoken with founder Nick Meyer on three separate occasions since those fateful days that ushered in the uncertainty. The first was late March, when anxiety was obvious because nothing else was. The second was summer, as we persevered with a few more answers, but not enough. And today, things are, and I don't have many other ways to say it, weirdly routine. Nick and I compared notes recently.
Talk to me a little bit about the things that you're feeling after these 9 months. You have to have a whole bunch of inspiration, newfound admiration for different reasons for different people. The brotherhood or sisterhood that you've been involved in for so long is more solid. How do you feel?
Well, I think this whole episode certainly shows, you know, us and everyone, the fragility of our whole system, especially in, you know, the arts and culture of this community and everywhere. That appreciation to learn really how interconnected we all are and how much we all rely on each other, and how when that is taken away, you know, that reliance on being able to spend time with other people through an event or, you know, just commerce or going out to eat with friends or just seeing the community out and about, when that's taken away, everything feels very, very different. You do get an appreciation for once this returns, I'm interested to see how do people emotionally feel going back out into the cultural world that we all, you know, experienced before through food and drink and entertainment and arts. And it's going to mean a lot more going into this next year. And obviously, we're still not there yet. You know, how is everyone going to survive? And certainly the news recently of a package being passed and all of the work that Pablo Center and all those other nonprofits trying to get some kind of extra life support. There's light at the end of the tunnel with federal programs on that. But it's still going to be a while before we can all get together again. I think the longer that we are in this sort of desert that we're in now, the richer the experience is going to be on the other side. And I think the more everyone's going to appreciate what this community has built for itself and our ability to keep that going.
The people of Volume 1 have had to do things that you really never envisioned you'd ever have to do. You must feel like you guys are a more complete entity now.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of different organizations and businesses were forced to really look at what they do. It's weird. When you get shut down, it pushes you in new directions. You have to figure out how else can you survive, and that's going to create some permanent evolutions for a lot of different organizations and businesses on the other side. The core of what we do is talk about events and things that are happening in the community, and when that grinds to a halt, we have to find new ways to communicate with people about new and different things. So we've covered a little bit more of certainly the news of what's been happening around COVID in the community and how it's affected businesses and nonprofits. We started the Volume 1 podcast this year and some other things to communicate with people, because obviously at first it was very scary when no one was going anywhere or even to grocery stores. You know, a free community publication was found on racks around the community, and suddenly that was shut down. And when we spoke before, we had, you know, undergone some home delivery efforts and things like that when it was in those darkest early days. But now that is stabilized, and that's better for us. But there's still a lot of ways that we've had to evolve and learn with video and with podcasts. Still, the heart of what we're doing is the same, in that there's still people making good things happen in this community. Just what they've had to focus on has changed, and so we're able to continue to tell those stories in any way we can.
Volume 1 is the story of our lives, present and future. I was wondering if you are planning on a compilation, a history of the things we endured, of what people in the arts had to deal with, many of their stories, because posterity does need to remember simply because we were here. If anybody would do it, it would be you guys.
A big book of misery that we all went through.
Kind of, while we were going through it, but then sure. How we emerged.
Right. Well, the thing about that is you have to have an end point. Okay, now it's done, you know, and you can look back once it's done. The problem is that the finish line, you know, kept getting pushed out with this whole crisis, and it still is. I mean, we're obviously able to see a little bit more light at the end of the tunnel now, but it's still hard to know. When do you delineate, okay, the impact is over, and now we can tell those stories? I think it's going to have to be an ongoing bit of storytelling. Unfortunately, I think you're going to see a lot of long-term impact to the arts community, to the food and beverage community, to the events world, to the business world, small businesses, feeling this for a while in a lot of different ways. And I do think a lot of good will come out of it, but it's hard to know when to do that. But I do think, there's going to be a need for this community to tell its own story of how it met this challenge and what it did to make it on the other side. Because it hasn't been as bad as you might have feared it originally with mass closures of businesses and restaurants. It would seem so far that a lot of people are making it through, but we do have a ways to go yet. 50 years from now, the Chippewa Valley Museum will have its big exhibit on what happened during this time for all of us. So, yeah, we are absolutely living through history, and there are stories to be told in that, to be certain.
Every year, old year goes out, new year comes in. People notoriously make predictions. Do you have any for 2021?
Oh, my gosh. If there's ever a year that feels impossible to predict, I think it's this one. But it does feel to me that you'll see a return to the community that we all know and love sometime this year. Perhaps a cautious return, but I think that vitality that we all love and appreciate about this community is going to be back, and we're all going to be there to enjoy it, and I think appreciate it on an even deeper level than we ever have before.
And hey, whether you want it or not, Volume 1 is kind of our conscience. If as you report and as you engage, you notice us starting to take things for granted again, pull us back.
Well, that's a great point. I think that's a good lesson for everybody here.
All right. Happy New Year. Thanks for being with us. Yeah.
Thank you, Al.
Support for WPR comes from Marquardt Toyota, committed to delivering an authentic and enjoyable automotive experience. Marquardt Toyota is located off Highway 53 between Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls and at marquardttoyota.com. Support also comes from Affordable Lab Tests in Eau Claire, providing health and wellness testing for individuals or businesses in the Chippewa Valley, with results confidentially verified by a physician. More is at affordablelabtests.com. The year 2020, or at least three quarters of it, will be unforgettable for musicians, especially those who make their living at it. And one of the busiest during normal times is sax player Sue Orfield. If it wasn't bad enough that she wasn't able to play to admiring audiences in so many of the groups she plays with, she and husband Randy Sins, also an excellent musician, ended the year by contracting the virus responsible for so much misfortune.
Not a happy way to end the year. We tried so hard, wore masks and socially distanced and didn't go out unless we needed to. And just like, we got it anyway.
What kinds of conversations did you have with musicians throughout the year? Did you have kind of a support group? Did you talk?
Yeah. Oh, yes. And, by and large, there's a real consensus that it hasn't been easy to stay creative. There are definitely people who are doing it, but the consensus among my friends that, there's a lot more couch time than there is piano time. I'm not sure what that's about, except that as I've talked with other musicians, I know I'm not alone in that. I continue to buckle up my boots and go to my studio and practice whenever I have. Okay, I'm going to do that again today. So I haven't done a lot of writing, a little bit here and there. You would think with all of the time that would be something that would just come on I haven't had I haven't even had the will to force myself to get into it, because there are ways you can just write every day and like make it happen, and I just haven't cared somehow.
But you're the kind of person, though, from what I know of you over the years, go, 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 and you haven't given yourself, other than maybe a few vacations, the time to just sit there and veg, and maybe this was the time you didn't have any choice, and so you decided to do it.
Yeah, I think so. My feeling is that at some point 5 years down the road, we're all going to look back at this and understand a little more what our reactions were. But I feel a little bit like, even though we've had time, it hasn't been free time in the sense of like oh, look, I have all this free time to do anything I want. I do, but there, on top of that, layered in that is this sort of survival mode thing, which is not normal. There's been a real heavy heart about what's going on in the world and the state of affairs, and then there's the coronavirus and this sort of survival mode. So I don't know, I think we'll look back at it and we'll sort of understand, yeah, it's okay. We all sort of went through this in the way that we had to get through it, you know.
It is so weird and so coincidental, the year in which we started possibly and hopefully seeing things more clearly was labeled 2020.
I know, I love that. I've often thought about that. There's got to be some excellent poem written somewhere about hindsight in 2020, right?
Oh my God.
Somebody had to do that. I don't know who did.
You must have. Everybody who wasn't able to do their stuff and perform in front of live audiences, you must have also thought, though, about the venues. Venues are where you congregate. In normal times, you need venues as much as they need you.
Yes, exactly. I saw that the Save Our Venues thing passed. Hats off to all the folks that made that happen. Yeah, I do wonder about the venues. You know, Randy and I have been doing a lot of walking around Eau Claire now that we have some time to walk. And we often walk downtown and pass, for instance, The Plus, which we love to go listen to music to and also to play at as a venue. And it's just boarded up and it's so dark and disheartening to see it like that. You know, it's supposed to be filled with people and music and people making jokes.
At the turn of the new year, everybody loves to make predictions. Do you have any? What's 2021 going to be like, other than better?
I feel like it's not going to be like flipping on a switch. I think we've heard this analogy, that it's sort of turning on the dimmer and getting it brighter and brighter. We have a long ways to go with getting the vaccine out to everybody. I think it's going to be amazing, and I also think it's going to be, like, weird to play for people again.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, we did this summer, so it's not like I've had 9 months or 10 months of not playing music. This summer, we played some outdoor gigs, and we had socially distanced crowds. So I feel like that's going to happen again. We're going to have outside venues, and that's really cool. So that'll be amazing, but also just strange. Strange again, because now it really feels like it's a distant memory playing music, you know.
Your first indoor gig.
I know. I don't even know what that's going to be. I've got several things on the books. But you know, we'll see how they go. Like, I think I'm supposed to have an indoor gig in April, and I don't know if that's actually going to happen.
Thanks so much. We're glad you're recovering. Any words of wisdom?
Don't get this thing. It sucks.
I love it. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Al. Have a great day.
Where there's a will, there's a way. Jerry Way. And no one has more will than Jerry Way. In fact, I don't believe won't is even in his vocabulary. He's the Chippewa Falls version of Lerner and Lowe, all rolled up in one individual. We're going to hear a song that he wrote for a postponed original show called Hot Off the Press, but let's start soaking up some of his good nature and wisdom. Hey, Jerry, how are you?
I am well.
Well, good. That's the magic word. Now.
That's it. Certainly is.
Been getting a lot of writing done, I'll bet.
Yeah, I have. You know, it's one of the things that can go on during this. This is an awful time. We need, by nature, to be upbeat and look to things getting better.
You and the Wayward Players were going to perform Hot Off the Press in March of last year, and then the V word struck. You are scheduled to perform it in this coming new year. It does kind of apply to where we are. But it just appears to me as if you're the kind of guy, because you write so many things, who somewhere down the line, because this has been so historic and such an odd year, would probably write a whole show around that.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, it could happen. I guess the show that we are going to do now in March. We're supposed to do last March and got 2 weeks away and had it all pulled, and like everything else was pulled all year. Three of the songs kind of come to mind. One was one's called We're in Deep Doo-Doo. Another one called Do the Right Thing. Mm-hmm. And another song, It's Always Darkest Before the Dawn.
Okay.
So those things do apply to this time, even though it was written well before, but it was just what we were about to perform, and then it kind of all happened in real life. I think everything that in the show is going to apply pretty well when we do it in March.
When you wrote that, what was the gist of writing it then? We now know that it applies kind of to what we've been through, maybe even more astoundingly than you thought it would. Let's be honest, I mean, the dawn is hopefully going to be 2021.
That's absolutely what we're looking for, yeah. Right.
So what were you thinking when you wrote this song?
It came out of the story, and the story takes place back kind of in the 1980s in a small town newspaper. There is a crisis, as there often is in plays.
And, yeah, sure.
There's lots of squabbling going on in the community. There's an election going on in the play. It happens to be a senatorial election in this case, but that there are a lot of issues raised in the show. And there's an issue of local shopping versus chain stores, but the chain stores now are bigger than ever and online and everything. So the song kind of came out of that context, but I think it's going to ring a bell for a lot of things for this time.
Obviously, we've established now that you're a prolific writer, but you love to perform as well, and you have not been doing that, I believe. You might have had maybe an outdoor gig or two this summer. I don't know. Some musicians did. Have you been talking to fellow musicians? Has your fraternity been buzzing? Have you been able to do some of the online Zoomy things that other people have done?
Well, I did. I have subscribed to Zoom, and we've done some meetings with our players and so on. I have done some updating of repertoire and things. We exchange ideas and that sort of thing. It was heartbreaking to go through the calendar after March and just cross off one thing after another. And you said it right. I played a couple of outdoor things during the summer, but that's it. We've been very, very careful, and we're certainly looking forward to getting together with musician friends for real and going out and doing those performances that we love to do.
We're not going to take anything for granted anymore, are we?
No. You know, when it came about, we thought, well, a month, you know, it'll be all good. Yeah, yeah. Give it a month and things will be back. And then it became, well, maybe it'll be 3 months. So it's been a long haul here for just everybody all the way around with their work. And personally, we know a number of people that everyone does that has had the virus. A death I'm thinking of here is Rick Silloway, a wonderful teacher that I taught with in the Chippewa system and percussionist on conga drums, small percussion instruments. He played with our play, The Cave Artist, a couple years back, and we've made that available on YouTube for anyone. The whole play is there. Rick Silloway is playing the conga drums, and we dedicate it to him and to Margaret Glose, who often was a host at the Heidi for our performances. And both of them passed away this year, and Rick was from COVID for sure.
Well, you've always been a positive person. We're about to hang up a new calendar. Are you feeling good for 2021? I don't think the very beginning is going to be completely stellar, but it feels like it's going to get better.
Well, like the song I mentioned, we're still in deep doo-doo, but it's always darkest before the dawn, and we're gonna pull through this thing. It's still a mountain to overcome, but I think we're starting to see the sun peeking over the horizon here, and things are going to be better.
We're thankful that you've stayed healthy, and we're thankful you're going to be entertaining us in 2021. Again, our fingers are crossed that that's all going to happen, and we're thankful to you for sending a version of It's Always Darkest Before Dawn. Jerry, we look forward to talking to you in the normal fashion in 2021. I want to see that smiling face of yours, and I want to see you walking in the studio with the guitar. In the meantime, have a happy new year. Please keep in touch with us.
Oh, we certainly will. And all the same to you, Al. Thank you so much.
When you have troubles that weigh on your mind, problems and worries, solutions to find, searching for answers of a life-changing kind. It's always darkest before the dawn. Tossing and turning, awake through the night, reaching for something that's just out of sight. Watching and waiting, you long for the light. It's always darkest before the dawn. Minutes move slowly, the hours seem so long. Asking good questions should never be wrong. You'll find the answers if you can stay strong. It's always darkest before the dawn. It's always darkest before the dawn.
This is the New Year's edition of Spectrum West. Bruce Taylor is a professor emeritus and a former poet laureate of the city of Eau Claire. In fact, we have a couple poets laureate on this show. Coming up, Max Garland calls in. He was responsible for our state's poetic side for a couple years. Bruce Taylor always has something to say in his own special way, and we simply had to get his take on things.
My life hasn't changed a great deal. I'm retired, and my work day is pretty much the same. What I do miss is going out to dinner every once in a while, and I miss going to a bar every once in a while. We got people over at least once a week or so, and we're not doing that. So those are the three holes to it. And now the other part of it, it's impossible not to be, you know, influenced by what's going on. And so I think it's leaked into either a direct or indirect way into anything that any artist makes. Comes in the front door or the back door, one or the other.
A lot of catchphrases we've learned mm-hmm. to use over the last 9 months. You have a short piece that's called The New Normal, and man, how mm-hmm. often have we heard that one?
Yeah, I particularly like to collect those idioms and phrases as they come up in any time there's a new eruption of them, and there certainly has been a number in this one, yeah. And those fascinate me a great deal.
Can you give us The New Normal as you've written it?
I certainly can. The New Normal. One day it will be just what we've always done. No one will remember what we used to touch, embrace when we met, sit close and whisper. Will we even remember how to feel besides apart?
Yeah, let's hope that's not one of the new normals.
Yeah. One of the things I'm sort of interested in now is watching, you know, we've had two sort of bones thrown to us, you know, with the vaccine on its way and the change in administrations. And I think there are a lot of people who think, pop, that's going to be it.
Yeah.
One day everything's going to be fine. We're going to go back to what it was. And that obviously isn't going to happen. But the thing that still feels weird to me is when, you know, some people we know stop by, or even my kids, and I want to grab them and hug them and hold on to them, you know,
yeah.
for a long time. And that's just not something you should do yeah. quite yet.
How do you feel about the label Historic Times? You know, we're old enough to have been around the block several times. Mm. I never thought I'd go through this.
Yeah. We've not been through, no one, I imagine, has been through anything like this.
Yeah.
Not this big or this the same or maybe this disturbing even, you know.
Relative to what we've gone through and what we've seen and not done, my opinion is I don't think we can puff out our chests and be proud of the way we've handled it. I don't think we've done very well.
No. No, not at all. I feel sort of bad that I, you know, stuck my ass in the grass and just hunkered down.
Yeah.
You know, I just closed up and even more than usual and have been hiding out in a nice little spot with the person I love. And so that's, you know, could be worse.
Yeah. So you have another piece. It's called Safer at Home Without You. Give us a taste of that, would you please?
Okay. This is one of those things, you know, it started off at, you know, lockdown or something. Then it went to safe at home, and then it went to safer at home.
Mm.
But then, you know, I started to think of all of us at home without a person that we wanted to be with us. So is that worth being safe, I guess? So safer at home without you. I sit all afternoon in my rocker in yesterday's underwear, ice on my back and soaking my feet in what was hot water, channel surfing for hours, drinking too much bourbon, not counting my cigarettes. I did not answer the phone that I didn't expect to ring. nothing in the mail again. I had breakfast for lunch and had supper over the sink. I ate the stuff I love that you hate that stinks up the whole kitchen straight out of the pan, which I left unwashed on the stove. I left the front door unlocked, the back one open, and went to sleep in the hollow on your side of the bed.
Safer at home without you.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's obviously a double-edged thing going on.
You are an active guy when it comes to not only writing, but you also, you know, appear and you recite. It's nice to hear you read. You don't get to do that much, I'll bet.
No, and I really miss that. And I miss the readings that I used to host, you know, the off the page and the spoken arts things that I used to host once a month.
Yeah.
And there were other readings when I first started as poet laureate. You know, I think I had three reading series going at one time. I miss that. People are filling in a lot with, you know, video stuff and Zooms, and God bless them, but they can do that. But I just, you know, I just don't feel right doing that. It's just poetry to me is such an intimate thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be something right up close to you, you know, and in your face, so to speak, or in your ear, anyway.
Mm. You're a wise individual. And we supposedly are in the process of recovering, let's hope.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also going to be a lot of other kinds of recovering that we have to do. What's it going to take for us as humans to recover from this?
You know, I think it's going to take, in one way, I don't know. And yet, but that's never stopped me from saying things before.
Sure. You know? Yeah, I don't think any of us really knows, but
yeah,
I was interested in what you could come
up
with.
Yeah. I think it's probably all the stuff that we've always relied on. That certain stuff is going to get you through and other stuff isn't going to get you through. Friends are going to get you through, help get you through. They have before and they probably will again. It might take a little bit longer to reconnect with them, but I think that's going to happen. Family, the same thing. I think work also for people, though I wonder what's going to happen, permanent changes. How many people are going to go back to working at an office as opposed to working at home? How much of that are we going to see? What's going to happen to the retail section?
Sure.
I haven't been in a grocery store for 8 months. I just call the grocery thing, and I go to the curb, and I pick it up. That's it. Now, that's great because it cuts down on my impulse buying.
Yes. You don't buy all that stuff by the checkout.
No, but I liked going to the grocery store. It was one of my adventures for an old retired guy.
I've been asking everyone with whom I've spoken, do you have any predictions for the next year?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about predictions as much as hope. The hope would be that it will get better somehow eventually for some of us.
Yeah.
You know? That maybe sound like, you know, the pessimist version of hope, but the thing that I'm not going to miss, you know, at the end of the year, usually all what we went through and how many people have died and what were the highlights, and I just don't want to hear any of that. I just don't. I've been trying to come up with some kind of a piece. The title of, I don't usually start with titles, but this title would be Seeing 2020, you know, and that's sort of what I'm trying to get at, what images I can find to sort of sum the year up.
Summing it up is, that's a big task, even for guys like you. Leave us with, let's keep in touch, and then we'll say goodbye.
Let's keep in touch, we say in text and emails, instant messenger and Instagram. Get through it together, we say, from 6 feet apart and walking away.
Yep, that kind of says it all. Bruce Taylor, thanks so much. Happy New Year.
Same to you, sir.
Keep in touch.
Okay.
Support for WPR comes from Charter Bank, dedicated to investing in partnerships and offering Charter Bank business services with small business loans, treasury management services, and a variety of checking accounts. Details are at charterbank.bank. Support also comes from Western Wisconsin Health in Baldwin, dedicated to providing traditional and integrative care to address body, mind, and spirit. Information about Western Wisconsin Health is at www.health.org. To get an idea of how much of an effect 2020 had on Pat Donahue, all we need do is remind you that he's a musician. The popular songwriter, singer, guitarist who graced the Prairie Home Companion's All-Star Shoe Band for so many years had a big portion of his performance livelihood pruned from this past year. We're going to hear a parody he wrote during his downtime, but for now, I see you're wondering, how much did he miss? Well, let's find out.
A pretty darn big chunk, I will say. But I'm luckier than a lot of people.
So when you you sit around and you watch all this happen and you're living the same life we're living and you write songs, did you automatically think parody? Or did you think, man, I should write something serious and something wise and something where there's lessons involved?
No, I don't think I ever really quite aspired to that. I didn't ever take it too seriously.
I think we have all come to realize how much we depend on each other, specifically from a musician standpoint. The venues, those are things you just don't think about till they're not there.
I know. It's a symbiotic, isn't that a symbiotic relationship?
I guess.
I'd really love to be a part of that right now, be doing my part in that codependency. So I'm anxious for things to open up again, just because I not only need to do it for obvious reasons, but this is what I do, and I record because I have to, but I always like live performance. That's the payoff.
Oh, yeah. Have you written other stuff during this time? Have you used the time to write new material?
You know, I've been playing a lot, and I'm studying guitar and some long-term projects as far as getting my playing better, different little side projects, but I've written maybe one or two songs in the last year or so. I should mention this before we're done. I'm going to be doing a concert on New Year's Eve on my Facebook stream under the auspices of the Granite City Folk Society up in St. Cloud.
Ooh, so that's just a live stream at what time?
At 7:30 Central Time. You know, I've never done it before, so there's probably some obvious questions or answers, but you could probably hook up to their website, Facebook site, I should say.
That's cool. Have you done the Zoomy thing? And
Well, I've been doing a lot of Zoom lessons, to be honest.
Okay.
But as far as concerts, I did two from Willie's American Guitars here in St. Paul, a great guitar store, but they're kind of savvy at that sort of thing where I am not. And so I did a couple of half-hour concerts. I didn't really like the feeling of it all that much, you know. Yeah. It didn't really provide any kind of release for me, you know. Yeah. But I won't tell you why. I don't even know why.
Well, Happy New Year to you. Thanks for being a friend of WPR, and we hope to talk to you when times are so much better.
Oh, gosh, I hope so, too.
In 2021.
Yes.
Pretend you're on stage and you're ad-libbing.
Okay. Well, with all due respect to Paul Simon, whose song I defiled, I came up with this parody early on in the pandemic. Oh, things felt real close around the house. You know what I'm talking about.
Keep in touch, would you?
Okay, thanks.
I'm sitting in my living room, just like every afternoon. Mornings and the evenings too, I sit here and take in the view. No place to go, nothing to do, too afraid I'll get the flu. Homebound, I surely am. Homebound, home, where I'm always staying home, with a Netflix playing home, where my love's behaving silently toward me. Every day's like all the rest, turn on the news and get depressed. Red is red and blue is blue, and you hate them and they hate you, and I hate everybody too, 'cause there's just nothing else to do. Silently toward me. Today I'm in my underwear, 'cause I ain't going anywhere. I'll stay right on this property and have my groceries brought to me, sit on my butt and watch TV, try not to go too crazy. Shaking home, but the belly aching home, where there's no escaping home, where my love's behaving silently toward me. Mm-hmm.
For info on the New Year's Eve concert, the Granite City Folk Society website is granitecityfolk.org. Max Garland, another West Wisconsin emeritus professor, served Wisconsin as its poet laureate a while back, and he continues to contribute words and ideas to our quality of life. We were curious about his activities, or lack thereof, during this exceptional year, and of course, we ask that he share some of what he does best.
I've played a lot of guitar by myself. I have worked on a lot of poems, but I have also found out how much I miss being in front of people or being around people, hearing live music or playing live music. I've done a few Zoom readings, but not having people to look in the face, has diminished the experience for me quite a bit.
You've heard about Further Ado. Well, we want none of it. We want to hear a Garland original, something that applies to our state of affairs.
I have something about hope in the Chippewa Valley.
Sounds just like what the doctor ordered.
So I was trying to think of an encouraging poet for this discouraging year.
Mm-hmm.
And the best I could come up with is Walt Whitman. I'm trying to lean on Walt Whitman as this year ends and the new one begins. It's a gray day here in the Chippewa Valley. Snow is predicted, which I hope falls. I want to watch it on the bare trees, and I want to watch it on the evergreens. I want to see them take on that famous frosted look. I'm hoping for snow also because I'm remembering what composes a snowflake. I mean, what's at the crux of that famous hexagon? Before a flake can form or float or inevitably fall to outline and weigh upon the branches, before it can clot the treads of tires or whitecap the neighboring houses. It's dirt, of course, that forms the nucleus, the cold heart of snow. It's just a fleck of dust, a speck of grit, maybe a discarded and upswept pollen grain. In other words, it takes nearly nothing, but nearly nothing is vastly different from nothing. It's that cast-off floating particle of grit in the upper air that allows molecules of ice to be true to their blueprint, to branch and elaborate into the various shapes of snowflakes, lattice, lace, diamond dust, and my personal favorite, the stellar dendrite. In this year of viral distancing, quarantine, genuine suffering, here this morning, I'm hoping for the small gift of snow. I think of how something so tiny, so nearly nothing, dust or pollen, is seized by the frigid upper air, then branches into performance mode, a kind of beatification of grit that falls and covers what we can see of our town from the windows of our mutual isolation. My hope on this crisis-ridden morning is in the audacity of grit, those castaway particles of nearly nothing that allow the crystalline pattern of ice to launch into beauty. Cold beauty, sure. But the point is that the smallest thing, dirt, dust, grit, seeds the miraculous, both outside of us and inside. I admire acts of obvious heroism, doctors, nurses, emergency workers. But this morning, hoping for snow, it's also the grit of the high school girl stocking grocery shelves, the trucker, baker, convenience store clerk, ordinary neighbors keeping the grid alive, repairing furnaces, feeding and dressing our isolated elders who once did the same for us. That's hope for me. That's the human manifestation of the unspectacular grit at the heart of the snowflake. I depart as air, Walt Whitman once said. I shake my white locks at the runaway sun. Keep encouraged, he said. So I'm going to try, Walt. I'm remembering that it's also words, empathetic, heartfelt, trivial, humorous, distracting. It's the irrepressible grit of humanity at the core of our impulse to speak, write, sing, listen, to bridge the distance between us with words that constitutes hope for me, that keeps me encouraged. here at the end of this dismal year, in the beginning of a new, and hopefully, with luck and love and grit, a better new year.
Does it have a title?
Hope is Nearly Nothing.
There you go.
It's hard for a writer or musician to write blatantly, openly encouraging or hopeful or uplifting things because it often sounds corny. And that doesn't really acknowledge what so many people are going through economically and physically and maybe, more importantly, psychologically. I think that we have a lot of grieving to do in the new year, healthy and warranted grieving. And I think we also have a lot of emotional repair to do in the new year. It has been an enormous dose of humility, compassion, empathy, and unity. Those sorts of things is not how the rest of the world has seen us. It is a wonder, isn't it, that we can be in immediate contact with people all over the world. We have these capabilities that are nothing short of miraculous, and yet we are not closer, and we are not communicating better and more truthfully.
Yeah, we don't have to stand on street corners anymore and make sense of a face-to-face conversation.
Right.
We can do it elsewhere, and on that elsewhere, we don't get to know the other person. We get to like them or dislike them.
I think so. There's a lot to be said for face-to-face, flesh-and-blood interaction. We've suffered from the dearth of that.
If we're smart, we'll force ourselves to do that.
I hope so. Of course, when the calendar changes, the virus and the divisiveness, that is independent of the calendar. And so it's going to take a while, but all we can do is try to work on some of the components of that that lie within us, I guess.
People have always made predictions. Do you have any for 2021?
The new year will be much like the old year, unless we have the makings of change for the better within us. I predict we have better leadership from the top down. That will be a little more encouraging. I predict the arts and the venues where poets read and musicians play will have a little bit more hope. I believe what that little essay said, that it's really going to be not so much the acts of heroism, obvious ones, but like just the grit that's going to get us through.
Yes, we'll get through with grit and art and literature and great music, along with, again, using the old noodle, like when someone asks, what are you doing New Year's Eve? You say, this year I'm staying home, and you should too. But in the spirit of the holiday, here's a classic from Randy Sabine and Friends.
Maybe it's too early in the game. I'll ask the question just the same. What are you doing New Year's? Wonder whose arm to hold you close and tight. When it's exactly 12 o'clock at midnight, welcoming in the New Year's. New Year's Eve. Maybe I'm crazy to suppose I'll be the lucky one you chose. Out of a thousand invitations you'll receive. In case I stand one little chance, the jackpot question in advance. What are you doing New Year's? New Year's Eve.
crazy, to suppose I'd be the lucky one you chose. Out of a thousand invitations you'll receive, in case I send one little chance, here comes the jackpot question in advance. Oh, what do you do with New Year's? A New Year's Eve, what do you do with?
So if you're listening to the Thursday version of Spectrum West, we're about to wave goodbye to 2020. And if you've tuned in to the Friday reprise, it's already in the rearview mirror. It could have been better, for sure, and 2021 will be. But remember, we have a hand in that. So let's be smarter, and thus safer, and more thus, happier. I'm Al Ross. Thanks to all the year's guests, inspiring individuals and organizations who prove that, yes, Western Wisconsin uses its resources to create, but also to withstand by standing with each other.